Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking, no. I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay, It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what. And that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking up. Yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see you walking up. Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep on walking up. Walking shoes, hey. I tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime, In the night to see the light of day. Cause I've been blind for way too long, and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times are happy times, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen.
Step three, step one, step two, step three.
Walk in shoes.
Thy words a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walk in shoes, walk in shoes.
Walk into a promise. Walk into a better land.
Said I believe.
Prophet says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from the sky, and doesn't return there, but waters the earth, and makes it grow and bud, and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing I sent it to do. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills will break out before you into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, the cypress tree will come up, and instead of the briar, the myrtle tree will come up, and it will make a name for Yahweh for an everlasting sign that will not be cut off. Hallelujah, 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 b'shem Yahushua HaMashiach. First off, Abba, we thank you for the blessing of this day. We thank you for the blessing of the Shabbat. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for the trials and tribulations, Father. We thank you for the rain, Father, as a sign, Father, that you always lead and guide us, Father. That beyond a shadow of a doubt throughout this season, Father, that you have given us signs and wonders because we were obedient to you. Double Shabbats, Shabbats with rain, the holy season with rain, which is always a sign for Beth Yahweh that you have led us in your way. Father, we lift up our brothers and sisters, our elders, our children who are all suffering. I pray for Mazakane, Matael. I pray for Mazakane, Gary. I pray for Mazakane, Aminia. I pray for my Ak, Deuel, and all my sisters and brothers out there who are suffering in pain to the point where it is a hindrance to their ability sometimes, Father, to have a peaceful day. I pray for all of them, Father. I lift them up, Father, to you, Abba Yah, that you give them the healing that they require, the peace that they ask for, Father, that you give them the strength, Father, to see through their situation, Father, that the nighttime is only but a short time, Father, but that joy comes in the morning, Father. I just ask, Father, that you comfort them in all that they struggle, Father. Pray for everybody who may be suffering spiritually and mentally, emotionally, and physically, Father, that you safeguard us, Father, that you hedge us up, Father, that you heal the hearts that have been broken, Father, that you bind up the wounds, Father. Father, can't stop praying to you for this, Father, because we see the evidence of it, Father, amongst our family. And Father, just like with what happened with Miriam, as we talked about over this holy season, that the camp couldn't move until she was made whole, Father, we pray for the wholeness of this body, Father, so that it can move, Father, move into the day that you want us to move into, Father, move into your presence, Father, so that we one day, Father, will be able to behold your face, Father, face to face, Father, but also right now, Father, so that we could go along with our daily lives, Father, as we attract in this system, in Babylon, in Egypt, Father. Even though, Father, we are liberated within our spirit, Father, sometimes the trappings of this system, Father, are overwhelming and overcome us sometimes, Father. But, Father, we cry out to you to give us the strength that we need. Every day, Father, we pray that you give us our daily bread, Father. Give us just enough of that word, Father, to satisfy our hunger, to satisfy our need, Father. And Father, when we are not satisfied, Father, if you place it upon the heart of a brother or a sister to call a brother or a sister, that we follow it. That if you place on the heart to reach out, that we reach out. And that if we see the number, that we answer and receive the word that is given, Father. Father, sometimes we are weary, we are weak, Father. But Father, we know that you and your son Yahushua are so mighty, Father, and that the battle has already been won. But Father, we believe, but help us our unbelief. Help us with what we struggle with at times, Father, within ourselves, Father. Not even the things that are external, but the things that are internal. These things that plague our minds, plague our heart, plague our spirit. This darkness that comes upon us sometimes, Father. We ask, Father, that in those dark times, that the light of your son, Yahushua, the light of your word that you have given to us, Father, that we hold on to it, that we look for it, Father, and that we do not despair. We do not let that darkness overcome us and succumb to it, Father. We ask these things. We beg from you these things in the name of your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, whose precious blood you sent, Father, as that sacrificial lamb, Father, that you said that was from the foundation of the world, that the victory is won through him. And all we need to do is fall in line behind him and follow the lamb wheresoever he wags his tail before our face. And he goes. These things, Father, we ask you in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, the mightiest name that you have given to all creation, that we cry out for salvation to you, O Yah. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen, amen, amen. I pray, family, that I'm coming through okay. I'm going to assume that I haven't heard from anyone just yet, that I am coming through okay. And if so, hallelujah. On this Bless Shabbat day, just after the holy feast of Yahweh, closing out the season. And I tell you, family, we are blessed. Todah, Rabbi. We are blessed immensely. We are blessed beyond measure, family, but we just have to believe. We just have to hold on. Don't slacken the arm of Yahweh. Don't push the arm of Yahweh away. Grab hold of his hand and let him guide you through whatever darkness you are in, family. And again, I can't utter it enough. It's Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. There's only one message that is going forth right now, family. But are you listening? And more so if you're listening, are you receiving it? And more so if you are receiving it, are you understanding it? Remember, Bina Torah. That was the message that we had gotten many, many years ago, well over 10 years at this point. With all thy getting, get understanding. Understand what it is that we have in front of us. Why are we refusing it? Even amongst our family here, why are we refusing the help from our Heavenly Father, Yah? Why? You don't feel worthy of his help? You don't feel deserving of his help? Well, I'm here to tell you, you are. You are very much deserving of his help. You have already been forgiven for whatever wrong you have done. And trust me, this is coming from somebody who has done a whole lot of wrong. You are forgiven. Forgive yourself. Don't let the adversary to continue to hold whatever issues, whatever faults, whatever thing that has been done over your head. Don't allow him to use it against you. No matter what you did, the scriptures say, though a righteous man may fall seven times, that he will uphold him those seven times. Do we believe it or not, family? And that's not even what the lesson is about. The lesson is good news. There are better days to come, family. There's a good message within that word, family. And as my rabbi often said in the past, troublous times are coming. Yes, those times are coming. But just like whenever you go to the beach, that big wave comes over and washes up on shore, sometimes crashing, it also recedes, family, and goes back. Just like we had a beautiful rainfall out on Sukkot. And even yesterday, that beautiful rainfall that we had, family. Look at the sun's coming out now. The winds blow and the waters flow. And it causes the earth to dry back up, family. But do we believe it? Do we accept it? Do we receive it? Do we understand it, family? What is the first prophecy that was given to all of humanity? Let's take a look at it, right? We're going to go on a journey. Got my walking shoes on today, family. So walk with me, family. Please, I beg you to walk with me through this word. All right? So we're going to start off, and we know this, right? I'm going to skip through a few things, but I'm going to Bereshit, Genesis 3:1. I'm going to stay in the third chapter for a couple of verses, okay, family? First one's 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath Elohim said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Now, not to belabor that point, but now we understand some things about the serpent. He's more subtle. And the first thing that he does, he poses a question to Eve, to our mother, the mother of all creation, right? Now, not to get into all of that, because that's not the focal point. Let's skip down, family, to stay in chapter 3, verse 13, family, right? Now, we all know the story by now. We know what happened. We learned about this even before we came into the faith as believers. Many of us is already familiar with the story. She ate the apple, okay? Need to go into all of that, right? But now, this is what Yahweh said to the woman, okay? And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And that's what the serpent did. The serpent beguiled her. He tricked her with a question. And he is still tricking humanity with this question to this day. Did God say? Is that really what that word means? Is that really, is the word true? I think about the questions, again, that we talked about on last Shabbat. Why is the Bible under attack? Is the word of God true? Is it true to you? That's a personal question. Is it true to you? Do you believe it? And I'm talking to the members of my congregation, Beth Yahweh, in good old Baltimore, USA. Do you believe it? Or is this just a plaything for you? Or is this just knowledge for you? Do you believe the words in this book? Because if not, you got some soul searching to do. Cry aloud. You need to talk to Abba. Do you believe these words here? We're not here to play church. This is real life situations. This is for real stuff right here, family. For real stuff, huh? Is anyone turning people back to the Most High? What is the word of Yah? What is the Torah? Did Paul teach against the Torah? What is sin? Okay? The reason why we have to ask these questions is because of this very scenario right here. Because the serpent, which was more subtle than any other creature outside of Adam and Eve, Adam and Kua, they had more intelligence, but he had more cunning. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to trick them. Right? Again, 3:13, and Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. She realized she'd been tricked now. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So the first thing that he had to do was he had to put a whammy on him, he had to curse him, right? But here's the prophecy now. 3:15. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So he's letting them know from the very beginning. Remember, the end is revealed from the beginning. So he's letting us know, okay, I'm a bust your head wide open. That, as they used to say in the street, down to the white meat. But while my foot is crashing down upon your head, you might get a little nick on me. But that's a prophecy that was given to humanity. That the victory from that moment on, remember what we were taught yesterday and what we have been told time and time again. Through the word of Yahweh, that salvation is already ours, family. Salvation is already ours. Yahweh has a schedule. And the thing that is so beautiful about his schedule, it ain't like when I used to catch the subway. And I expected the subway to be there at 10:05, and sometimes it got there at 10:10, 10:15, 10:30, or sometimes a whole hour plus later because the subway got issues. The one daggone line they got, they can't even keep it right. He ain't never going to be late to his schedule. He's always going to be on time. All we have to do is follow his schedule, follow his timetable, and walk in step with him. That's all we got to do. Back to 3:14. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now we're going to skip down to 22, family, down to 22. And Yahweh Elohim said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore Yahweh Elohim sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So through our sin, family, we have been separated from our relationship. We had a garden that we lived in. We had a playground where everything was provided for us, set up by our Heavenly Father and our physical mother and father screwed that up for us, family. But Yahweh said, I already made a way. He said he had, the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Do we believe that? Do we believe it? If not, let me give you some more evidence to convince you if you don't believe it. But make a statement. Once Yahushua entered into the world, salvation had been given to all humanity. Once Yahushua was conceived, salvation was given to all humanity. Walk with me again, family. You're going to Luke. Lucas. One of my favorite brothers. Can't wait to meet that brother and say, man, thank you for loving us enough to say, for those who came along thousands of years later, though God lovers, you left us this testimony so that we can walk in it with a surety and belief that the words that you put in it are true. Thank you, Brother Lucas. Hallelujah to Yahweh for giving us Brother Lucas. All right? So we're in Luke, family. We're going to Luke, second chapter, starting at 25. Luke 2:25. Once my eyes allow me to see it, I'll be there. Thank you. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Ruach HaKodesh was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Ruach HaKodesh, revelation, that he should not see death, talking about Simeon, before he had seen Adonai's anointed one, Moshiach. 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Yahushua, to do for him after the custom of the law, or rather the Torah. Now imagine this scene. 2:28. Then took he him up in his arms. Simeon saw the child with his parents, and was so moved by the Spirit, he said, let me hold this baby. Think about in the movie The Lion King. But not quite with that. But this man grabbing the baby, just like Rafiki, right? Took Simba in his arms. He's taking Yahushua at 8 days old in his arm, or whatever the time. I might have the timing right, but this was maybe after, this was the time after she, so it was more than 8 days old, family, so forgive me for that, because she's going to give the turtle dove, so she's done her time, I think is what, 40 days for a boy, forgive me, never had the children, so I don't remember the exact date, but forgive me for that, my error, right? But we know the time of that she's supposed to offer the sacrifice for him has come up. That's why they're in Jerusalem, that's why they're in the temple. So Simeon sees the baby, grabs the baby in his arm, and he says, 2:28, and he took him in his arms, and he said, Baruch Atah Yahweh! Baruch Atah Yahweh. Then he took him in his arms and blessed Yah, and said, Adonai, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. What word? The word that he had given to him by the Ruach HaKodesh. that I was going to see salvation. Wait a minute. He's a baby. He's an infant. Barely months old at this point, family. But Yahweh promised him that he would see his salvation. And this man actually touched salvation with his own two hands. And he said, 29 again, Adonai, now let thou thy servant depart in peace. I can go in shalom according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And here's a very important point about Moshiach that people tend to miss. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Wait a minute. A light to lighten the Gentiles. And let's look at exactly what it means to lighten the Gentiles, family. Scripture said his word is a light unto his feet and a lamp unto his back. But let's look exactly at what it means. All right. It's in the Greek. 602, right? Now, I don't want to read through all the definitions, but if you have the Strong's Concordance, especially on your device, go down to we want, I believe, 2B in the Thayers, if you have that, right? Yeah. Right? Nope, I'm sorry. We want 5-4, the wrong one. 5-4-5-7. We want a light. 5-4-5-7. 5-4-5-7, family. And we actually want 2-D-1. This is the first thing that he says that he was supposed to do, a light for the Gentiles. What did he give them? 2-D-1, the power of understanding, especially moral and spiritual truth. Why? Because the Gentiles, the nations didn't have that. 2D, reason, mind. So he's putting a mind inside them. Like when Paul says, I have the mind of the Messiah, let this mind dwell within you. Well, guess what? We're talking to a people that have no unction, no inkling of the Torah. So one of the things that Yahushua has to do for all of humanity is give them a reasonable mind and the power of understanding, especially moral. Where does the world get morality from? From the Torah and spiritual truth. What truth? The truth of the Torah. So that's the first thing that we see when old Simeon pulls him up in his arms, that he says, a light standing to the Gentiles, to give morality, give Torah to the Gentiles, right? And then he says, and the glory of thy people, Yisrael. Let's look at this word glory, because that's important too, family. And we are going to see proof positive that Yahweh leads us, not necessarily here, but that Yahweh is leading and guiding us. And he has blessed us with a good leader, a good leader. A very good leader, family. Let's not take this for granted. And for those who do not realize the importance of a leader, I feel bad for you. Because what would Yisrael be without Moshe, Aharon? What would Yisrael be without Joshua, Ben-Nun? What would Yisrael be without the judges? What would Yisrael be without King David? What would Yisrael be without Solomon? What would Yisrael have been without Shaul? Why would he tell him to select 70 elders that the Spirit was laid upon them? If leadership and following leadership was not important. As my brother brought out in his Torah portion 2 weeks ago, with the eunuch, and the eunuch said, I have nobody to guide me through this word. You need a guide through this word. You need someone to light you through this word. That's the order that was set up. Not by that Yahweh congregation. It's the order that was set up by the Heavenly Father. If It wasn't. Why is it in the Word? And the question is, for those who have an issue with it, why do you have an issue with it? Are you your own personal God? Why do you have an issue with leadership? Why do you have an issue with being led? They say one of the greatest characteristics of a leader is learning how to follow. But how many of us are willing to learn how to follow before we are given that commission to then lead? Told not to say that I am digressing. So I didn't digress. A light to lighten, back to 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Yisrael. So let's not forget Yisrael, right? That term in the Greek is 1391, family, 1391, right? And we want 4B. 4B. The glorious condition of blessedness into which is appointed and promised that true, not Christians, true believers shall enter after their Savior's return from heaven. The glorious condition of blessedness into which is appointed and promised that true Israelites, the Israel of Yah, shall enter after their Savior's return from heaven. So Simeon, old Simeon, saw this when his mother and father entered into the temple to offer the sacrifice. He understood that what he saw in that baby was revealed to him by our Heavenly Father through the Ruach HaKodesh, and he had actually seen, touched salvation, and he knew at that point that he came into the world for this purpose, right? 233, family. And and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him, because they had no understanding at that point of who he was. But Simeon did. And what does Simeon's name mean, family? 234, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child, and this is important too, family, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. That is very important now. And let's look at those two words, what it means for the rise and fall of many in Israel. Because remember, he got a purpose. Right? So first, fall. Right? The word is in the Greek, 4431. It's tosis. Tosis. Right? Guess I'm pronouncing that right. And it says a falling down, a downfall. Simply put, a falling down or a downfall. Right? But there's an embedded word, once I can get this thing off my screen. Thank you very much, iPad. Get out the way. Right? We're going to go to definition, and it's always the last definition. 2B4 and 2B5. To be removed from power by death. 2B4, to be removed from power by death. And 2B5. To fail of participating in, miss a share in. So when it says to the fall of many in Israel, they're going to miss their part in salvation. Do we understand that, family? How important is salvation, your salvation to you? Why you ain't out Sukkot? And I understand what Rabbi said. And he's right. You can set it up in your yard, absolutely, and do it that way. If there's no other choice, if you are not able to do it any other way, for whatever means, just like for 7 days, you're supposed to eat that leaven, unless you're cheating in the midst of eating that leaven when you're not supposed to. And I'm not talking about a mistake. Well, the same way you wouldn't put a whole slice of pizza in your mouth during the Feast of Unleavened or eat a sandwich with bread on it during the Feast of Unleavened, if you are able, you need to be out at the campsite. Simple and plain. You got no excuse for not spending your time out there. Unless you have a physical ailment, unless you've got something causing you distress, you need to be out there. Simple and plain. This feast points to salvation just like every other holy day, just like every other feast day. This ain't no minor feast day. This is no different than Passover. This is no different than Yom Kippur. It holds the same strength in Yahweh's eyes. And if you need to be out there, be out there. No excuses. Stop making excuses. And again, if you got a reason, your health or whatever, but if you lack faith, that's why you're not coming out there. That's why you're not staying up there, because you lack faith. Well, Yahweh going to test your faith, because it's not minor in his eyes. We know the story. It was so important to our ancestors that that's why we got Hanukkah. Because it was important to them to dedicate yourselves. And they were caught up in a war, heated battle. We know the story of Hanukkah. We went through the book of Maccabees. Because they were in the midst of war, and that brothers and sisters were losing their lives for the sake of the honor of Yah. And they were enthroned in a furious battle. They could not keep the Feast of Sukkot the way they wanted to. We just honor their death. We just honor their sacrifice. Well, we don't make that sacrifice, and we want to call ourselves warriors. Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you scared of? And yes, you got an out, if you so choose. But at the end of the day, ask yourself, are you making the necessary sacrifice that Yahweh wants you to make? That's between you and Yahweh. But anyway, and Simeon 2:34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary and his mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and rising. Now let's look at the word rising again. That's in the Greek, 386, right? Anastasis, anastasis. And tell me what you hear when you read this definition, right? From Greek 450, a standing up again. That is literally a resurrection from death. General or by implication, its author, or figuratively, a moral recovery of spiritual truth, raised to life again. Can these bones live? Think about the Valley of Dry Bones, family. Can these bones live? So accepting Yahushua now, or him coming into the world was bringing together those dry bones. So let's read it again, family. 34, right? He says, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. So some, it's going to cause them now to miss what they're supposed to be partakers of. And for some, it's going to cause them now to be joined in. Because why? Many of us, think of our situation. Many of us were not in this life at one point, but by the mercy of Yah and through accepting his son Yahushua, by taking upon that blood and putting it on our mantle, our mental mantle, we are now brought into a rising up again, a resurrection. Remember now, Abba showed us we weren't just made by happenstance. We are made by design. We have a purpose that we are brought here for, family. a purpose created with intent, not by happenstance, but we are all deliberately in this because we are here to fulfill his will. Again, 2:34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. But this is the part I love right here, family. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. A sword. So let's think about now what Yahushua said, family. And let's even think about this. A couple of weeks back when we went through Samuel 17, what did David say? David said to Goliath, and remember now, what is Goliath a representative of? Whatever exposes what is us on the inside. So he said, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. But wait a minute. When we learned about Goliath and what Goliath's name means, it means to denude, it means to expose, right? So we see in the midst of that battle between the Philistines and between the mighty men of Israel, it showed who really had the heart for this battle. It showed who really was dedicated. It showed that those men were afraid. But what happened when David came along? Let's take a look at it, right? Because these things are important. We don't just want to glance over these things, right? Because it's important that we understand the battle that we are about to get into. But again, not to bring about despair, because better days are coming, family. There is good news. I'm going to get to the good news part, family. I'm going to get to the good news part. Trust and believe, Yahweh willing, I'm going to get to the good news part, right? Hold on, I'm trying to find a part. And we're in 17, right? David said, first I'm going to read, I'm going back to 1 Samuel 17:25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? See, we are there to take away the reproach of Israel. Because Israel right now, family, they're in reproach. They're falling down. They're beaten. They are a valley of dry bones, family. They are in reproach. When we think about Israel, who we recognize of Israel, is it anything to brag or boast about? In all actuality, just like the Torah said, we're teaching the world how to sin and all the things that we are caught up in. And as much as I'm hip-hop, love hip-hop culture, grew up on hip-hop, still quote songs, we was out there chilling that last night at Sukkot, having a great time. But that hip-hop culture is the dominant culture in the world, and it is bringing the world to its knees. It has only gotten darker and darker over time, to the point now, little Nasty X can give Hasatan a lap dance and people think that is cool. And that little Uzi Vert, whose name is a hidden term for Lucifer, and even though we know that is not the adversary's real name, the whole point and intent is to put in the people's mind, or plant rather, a satanic seed in their mind. Listen to some, no, I'm not going to say listen to some of this hip hop. If you by chance, somebody's playing into their car and it catches your ear, just feel the darkness that's coming off of hip hop in this day and age. Pure evil is coming out that genre. It's so funny because Abba, through his servant, Yahkel, brought out the meaning of the term Shakur. And when you get a chance, please look into that term Shakur and why it's arguably one of the most notable, look up his name in the Hebrew, Tupac Shakur. And I know that's going to hurt a lot of people's feelings to know that that individual, that entity, did not do good for hip-hop. To the contrary, Tupac Shakur broke hip-hop with the venom that he spewed out of his mouth. But why is his name Tupac Shakur? Remember what Yahkel just taught us about the meaning of Shakur. And there's an entity who is the son of Shakur. Just a little food for thought, family. And again, I was one of them who I used to enjoy listening to hip-hop, and I listened to Tupac quite a many times. But now, by way of his servant, I see him a lot differently. Anyway, 7:26, and Dawid spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Who is he? Wait a minute. He is defying. Think about this. And if we consider ourselves to be soldiers in this fight for our Heavenly Father, for his honor, we should be asking the same question. When anything comes up in our life that seems to be this insurmountable, this unconquerable thing, what is this thing that comes apart, that comes against a soldier in the army of the living God? Do you consider yourself to be a soldier? Then what could be more powerful? And the people answered, 17:27, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake, and unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why comest thou not thither?" And why, we know what this says. And David, I'm going to read it. "And why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left the few sheep in the wilderness?" Who is the shepherd family? Who is the shepherd? "Why have you come down? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and naughtiness of your heart, for you have come down here, come down that you might see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" So David, and it's so funny, me and my brother was joking about that. I pointed at him and said, "You look like that poster of Uncle Sam." See, that poster of Uncle Sam pointing, asking, "What? Are you ready? What can you do for this country? What can you do for Yisrael?" So David knew there was a cause. That was the reason for him asking, "Is there not a cause? I'm down here for a reason. I'm here for mischief. I didn't do anything wrong. There's a reason why I'm down here. I'm answering the call." He turned away, 17:30, from him toward another and spoke like that again. And the people answered him again the same way. And when the words were heard which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul and sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail him because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistines." So y'all, you know what? If he willing to go, let him go. Let him go. But we're going to skip down to 36, right? And he said, "Your servant struck both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Yahweh, who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And we know he just took the five good stones, right? But this is the point I want to get to. Right here, family. 17:45, "And David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of Yahweh of armies, the mighty one of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today, Yahweh will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And we know he killed him by burying a smooth stone in his skull. But that wasn't the point. The point that was going to be made, or the important thing, was that he told him, without having a sword in his hand, that he was going to use a sword to chop his head off. He was going to remove from his body. But let's look into this sword. And again, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the living God. But isn't that what was prophesied by Simeon about Yahushua HaMashiach? In Luke 2:35? Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What sword? What sword, family? Think about what it says about that sword in Hebrews, that it's a double-edged sword, drawing asunder. And another thing that David did in stating to Goliath that he comes in the name of Yahweh, where did David get this from? Where did he get this understanding from, the power in the name of Yahweh? Well, my brother read some of it last night. And it's so funny because it's like, wow, you don't talk to a brother, or the conversation is very brief or whatever, but while you're talking to a brother or you're hearing the brother's lesson, you like, just like the brother said last night, like, wow, we didn't get together and create this lesson, but Abba knew what he wanted to bring out in these lessons, so we go into Deuteronomy 32:3. He knew what he was doing. Deuteronomy 32:3 says, "For I proclaim the name of Yahweh, ascribe greatness to our Elohim." So when David went out there, this was a prophecy about King David, that he would proclaim the name of Yahweh and ascribe greatness to our Elohim in the midst of the battle with the Philistines. That's what he did. That's exactly what he did. But let's take a look at the sword. My brother mentioned it in brief last night, but we're going to take a look at this sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yah. And again, I ain't forgot the title of the lesson. Good news. Better days are to come. We're getting to it, family. We're going to go down now, family, to Deuteronomy 32:39. Okay. Deuteronomy. We've got to go back. Deuteronomy 32. We're going to start at 39, family, right? "See now that I am he, and there is no Elohim besides me. I put to death and I make alive. I have wounded and I heal. And from my hand, no one delivers." Like the scripture, like the Allstate says, good hands with Allstate. Well, guess what? We in good hands, family. Do you believe that you are in his hand? Do you believe that he has you in his possession the same way Simeon held up Yahushua? Do you believe that our Heavenly Father holds you in his hands the same way? Do you believe it? Do you believe that he has delivered you from every situation that you're in? But you got to believe it for yourself. Again, 32:39, "See now that I am he, and there is no Elohim." I'm reading from the TS 2009, family, forgive me. "And there is no Elohim beside me. I put to death and I make alive. I have wounded and I heal. And from my hand, no one delivers." 32:40, "For I lift my hand to the heavens and shall say, as I live forever." And as my brother said, who is this talking about? As I live forever. He's the only one, that first fruits of all creation that we heard about the day before. Was it yesterday? Yeah, that Yaka'el talked about yesterday. That first fruit, he's the first one to receive his reward of salvation. He is alive, family. He is alive. For I lift my hand to the heavens and shall say, as I live forever. But this is the part I like right here. And I'm going back to the King James Version because I like how this verse reads in the King James Version. He said, if I whet, sharpen my glittering sword. Now, we're going to stop right there. And we're going to see what this glittering sword is. And who this glittering sword is should already be made evident to us, right? But we're going to see another revelation from this glittering sword, right? And it's in the Hebrew section, 1300, right? And the term is Barak, like Barack Obama, but not Barack Obama. Barak, all right? It says from the Hebrew, 1299, lightning by analogy, a gleam, concretely a flashing sword. So a flashing sword, right? A bright, glittering sword, right? But it's described as lightning. And that term Barak literally is lightning, right? And as my brother Matai and I were discussing, the importance of the nuances of understanding how Hebrew words are spoken and understood. And even though the same word may be have very many different connotations, it has a concreteness to it. And we just have to understand the vowel point on how it is used in a particular way, right? So this is, again, it's still Barak, right? But it's lightning. So wait a minute. Walk with me for a second, family. When Yahushua said, I saw Satan kicked out of heaven like lightning, that was Yahushua that kicked him out of heaven like lightning. Because he is the sword, and he came to bring the sword. So that glittering sword that he is talking about, that weapon that he is talking about, was he himself. So think about this. Yahushua beat him so bad with the ultimate power that he had the first time when he was in the heavens. Because remember the teaching from the first day of Shavuot, why he had to go back and ask him those questions. If you are the Son of God, because he saw him in a glorious state. He saw him as lightning. As the captain of the host, the weapon, the ultimate weapon of our Heavenly Father, Yah. That's the last state he saw him in. That was my lightning sound effect, family. Sorry, it probably sounded like I was gargling or something. But I hope you get the point. He saw him as pure, unadulterated power. Boom! Kicked his behind straight out the heavens. So he knocked him senseless. He couldn't even recognize him when he came in the flesh because he was not senseless. So again, he said, if I whet, back to 32:41, he said, if I whet my glit, if I sharpen my lightning sword and mine hand take hold onto judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and reward them that hate me. Who hates them? Who hates them? Anyone who hates Yahushua, what did he say? He said, you are of your father, the devil. So as my brother was stating last night so eloquently, that the ultimate victory, the ultimate destruction, the last judgment, the ultimate judgment falls on him. Who we have learned is called Hillel. It falls on him. But if you don't believe that to be true, let's hear the words of Yahushua himself. Let's go to Matthew 10:34, family. Matthew 10:34. And I did not say I wouldn't be long today because my intention was to make sure that this word was brought forth today, family. So I hope you're ready to walk with me. Yahushua says this, and we enter into that season, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. But this is not what Yahushua said. This is not the prophecy of him by Simeon. Yahushua said this. Yahushua heard the prophecy that Simeon said because he gave it to Simeon to say it. See, this is the problem that we have with Yahushua sometimes. Like my brother was trying to state last night, Aya Asha, I can be anything I want to be. I can be baby, I can be daddy, I can be God, I can be creator, I can be savior. I can be anything that I choose to be. And when I need to be a sword, I can transform myself into a lightning sword. Like Voltron had that lightning sword. Didn't Voltron have that lightning sword? And he says, 1034, don't even believe in one part of your mind. Think not that I am come to send peace on. I ain't coming out here to go, shalom, y'all, shalom. Hey, shalom, 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 shalom. I'm not down here to say shalom. I'm not down here to hear a bunch of shaloms. I'm not down here proclaiming shalom. I came not to send peace. Lord, why? Because I am the sword. So again, we're going to read it. I'm going to read it in the TS 2009. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to bring division. A man against his father. A daughter against her mother. And a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So he's letting you know, I'm coming down to break families up. Does it sound bad? It sounds counterintuitive to what we've been taught so far in our lifetime, huh? That, oh, he's going to bring everybody together. He's going to gather everybody in his arms. And everybody's going to come and hug. And everybody's going to come together. And everybody's going to say, kumbaya. And I love you. I love you too. Shalom, shalom, shalom. No. To the contrary, he says, do not think that I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. The same weapon I used that I had to become to kick Hasatan out of the kingdom. I am coming to do. 1035, I have come down to bring division. Does that sound very un-Yahushua-like? No, it does not, because that is his word. That is his purpose. That is the truth. And if you have a problem accepting it, it's not what a Harbel is saying. It's what the word is saying. These are words out of Yahushua's own mouth. Or did the scribes write this wrong? Because you are so enamored with the family concept that you're willing to accept certain things that you should not be willing to accept because of what your first love and first devotion should be. And that is to the one who brought you with a price, your mama, your daddy, your sister, your child, none of your loved ones brought you with a price. But Yahushua did. And I'm not, no, just that's the word. Not what Ahabel's saying. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm just speaking his word. For I have come to bring division, a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies are those of his own household. Sounds pretty harsh and cruel, don't it? Well, take it up with Adonai. Because then what do you do with this? And a man's enemies are those of his own household, his own family. Wasn't it says in the book of Job that the sons of Yahweh came to meet and that Hasatan was there among the sons? But yet and still, he's been kicked out of his household. What do we do with that? And a man's enemies are those of his own household. See, you should walk in happiness that you align with Yahushua. If for some reason this word is causing problems in your home, but what do you love more? And again, I ain't forgot the message. The message is good news. We're going to get to that, family. He who loves, 1037, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his stake and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it. So if you're loving everything about your life, okay, he who has found his life shall lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. So what are you doing for his sake, brothers and sisters? These are Yahushua's words, not mine. Okay? And it is difficult to do. You can ask a member of our congregation. It's something that is very difficult to do, to allow the word to separate you from people who you have spent your entire life loving and caring about. Notice Paul when he came along and said, that the unbelieving spouse is covered by the believing spouse. He didn't mention any other individual in that family. Why? Because the word doesn't say to cleave to mother and father and sister or brother, whomever, child or whomever. It says cleave to your spouse. That's who you're supposed to cleave to. But he said, if the unbelieving spouse depart, then you're free. And we have a witness for that amongst our family. And Yahweh has blessed that individual thousands of times over for that sacrifice that that individual made within the congregation. And don't mean to go home and get into some argument with your family. No, let Yahweh do his work. Pray for your family. Fast for your family. But don't let your family get in between you and your salvation. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's your crown. Going to Ezekiel, family. Ezekiel 21, 1 through 10. Ezekiel 21, 1 through 10. And I'm still going to read from the TS 2009, family. Okay? And the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward Jerusalem and drop word against the holy places and prophesy against the land of Yisrael. And he literally means that land that over there. It's so funny because guess what? That's not by mankind's design. That's by Yahweh's design. That portion of land over there that they arguing about, that they getting into heated conflicts about. And the word of Yahweh came to me saying, Son of man, set thy face toward Jerusalem and drop thy word toward the holy places and prophesy against the land of Yisrael and say to the land of Yisrael, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I am against thee. So why are you so caught up in staying over there in that part of the land? You ain't supposed to be there. And say to the land of Yisrael, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I'm against thee and will draw forth my sword out of his sheath and will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked. Seeing then that I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of his sheath against all flesh from the south to the north. Don't be caught up over there in that land. This is a prophecy against the land, family. He said, I'm going to cut off the righteous and the wicked out of the land with his sword. What's his sword? Yahushua. They don't accept Yahushua HaMashiach over there. Until Jeshurun come, we ain't supposed to be over there. Until the righteous king comes, we ain't supposed to be over there. 21:4, seeing that then I will cut off from thee the righteous and the wicked, therefore shall my sword go forth out of his sheath against all flesh from the south to the north. He's talking about in that land over there, he's going to cover all territory and he's going to put punishment on the righteous and the wicked. So we don't want to be over there when this prophecy is fulfilled. 21:5, that all flesh may know that I, Yahweh, have drawn forth my sword out of his sheath. I shall not return anymore. Sigh therefore, thou son of man, with the breaking of thy loins and with the bitterness, sigh before their eyes. And it shall be when they say unto thee, wherefore sighest thou, that thou shalt answer for the tidings, because it cometh, and every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it cometh, and shall be brought to pass, saith Yahweh Elohim. Again, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, 21:8, Son of man, prophesy and say it, thus saith Yahweh, say, a sword is sharpened and also furbished. It is sharpened to make a sore slaughter. It is furbished that it may glitter. Same word. Should we then make mirth? It contemneth the rod of my son. And he hath given it to be furbished. That's where I was supposed to stop. But I'll read that anyway since I started. And he hath given it to be furbished that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened and it is furbished to give it into the hand of the slayer. Again, He said, I ain't coming to bring peace. I'm the sword. I'm coming to bring this sword down. All right, family, we're going to switch gears a little bit now. We're going to go to Matthew 6, verses 5 through 10. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 10. I hope everybody is still with me. I apologize for going on so long, family. Oh, wait a minute. This can't be right. No, I'm in Matthew 5. Matthew 6, Sean. Sean, okay. Matthew 6. And he says, and when thou prayest, thou should not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for much speaking, for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. Do we believe this, family? With everything that we are experiencing, with everything that we are suffering, do we believe that he knows what we need before we ask? But he tells us, after this manner, 6:9, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. The first thing he says, hallow his name. Are you hallowing his name? Are you making his name set apart? Then the next thing he says, and this is the good news part, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Are you praying for his kingdom? Because that's important, family. We're going to see next couple of scriptures how important it is for us to pray, beseech, cry aloud for his kingdom, and that his will be done on earth as it is being done in heaven, okay? Let's turn now, family, to Matthew 24, all right? Matthew 24, we're going to do a whole lot of reading in this for a second, family, so bear with me, right? But remember, first thing he says is hallow his name. The second thing, pray for his kingdom to come and manifest. And Rabbi touched on it. Rabbi Yaakov touched on it in his teaching about that new heaven and that new earth that had been prophesied in the book of Isaiah as well as in the book of Revelation, that a new heaven, a new earth, that kingdom. And we're going to see the importance of praying for this kingdom in the next couple of verses by Yahweh's permission. Okay? Matthew 24:1, family. And Yahushua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Yahushua said unto them, see ye not all these things? You looking at this? Verily, now, dig the scene for a second. His disciples are taking him basically for lack of a better term, tour around the temple. They're marveling at the temple. And they want him to marvel at the temple. And he's letting them know, see ye not, in 24:2, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So that wall that they crying over there and praying and putting papers in and all that and putting supplications, I hate to say it, if the word says, if Yahushua himself says that not one stone will be left upon another, I tend to believe that not one stone will be left upon another. So that the fact that there is a wall over there still leads me to believe that is not part of the temple, okay? Because otherwise, is Yahushua a liar? Is his words untrue? Okay? Just food for thought. Just in case you believe that Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, whatever they call it, is part of the temple, okay? And Yahushua said unto them, back to 24:2, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. 24:3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Because now they shook. When is the temple going to be destroyed? Because they know if the temple is destroyed, they're going to have significant problems. Right? So that's the first thought in their mind. They come into him now and say, whoa, wait a minute now. You said the temple's going to be destroyed? Well, we need to know what to look for when the temple is about to be destroyed. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of that coming and the end of the age? So, three things they want to know. When is it going to be? What is the sign that you're going to come? And when is this age going to end? This current period that we're in, when is it going to end? And Yahushua 24:4 answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. He said, it's very important. The first thing is, you are susceptible to deception in all of this. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Moshiach, and shall deceive many. See, talk to my brothers about this at Sukkot, because the question I had about this verse was, does it mean that many people are going to come proclaiming Yahushua HaMashiach, or people are going to say, I believe in Yahushua HaMashiach, and I am an anointed, I am a Moshiach, I have the charge to give the word of Yahweh? Because why is he telling them, take heed that no man deceive you? Because we know Yahushua HaMashiach ain't just going to come out of nowhere. Those of us who believe in Yahushua believe he is going to return the same way he went up, as it said in the book of Luke, the last book we read, right? He said, why y'all looking to this heaven? He said, the same way you seen Yahushua go up is the same way he's going to come down. The same way he came down in Exodus 23. When he came down to the mountain, all the nation of Israel saw that. So they won't be deceived knowing that Yahushua himself is coming back. But now a lot of people are going to be out there saying, Yahushua, Yahusha, Yahushua, Yahusha, Yahushua, you know, they're going to be proclaiming his name. And even more so, they're going to say, I'm anointed. I have the ability to carry the word. I carry his spirit. Isn't that what we see now? And they are deceiving many. But again, he says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And he said, for nation shall rise up against nation. We've seen all this. It's been going on throughout the ends of time. And kingdom shall rise up against kingdom. We be seeing this all. And there shall be famines. Been seeing stuff about famines. Been reading National Geographic since I was a child. They've always got famines going on all over the world. And pestilences. We're in the midst of a pestilence right now. And earthquakes. We see the Canary Islands. It's about to going to be cracked right off the island of Spain, right? Right off of the continent over in Europe, right? And earthquakes in diverse places. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they, 24:9, deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So shortly coming, family, people are going to hate hearing the name Yahushua. They're going to hate hearing things other than that name, Jesus. They're going to hate what we're calling him. They're going to hate what we're proclaiming, right? 24:10, and there shall many, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. See, he's saying, my name is not going to bring peace towards people. My name is going to divide people. He's letting us know that right off the muscle. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this is important. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We cannot forget this part, because this is important. Important message that needs to go out, the message of the kingdom, right? Now, we're going to take a look at two terms in here, family, right? He said in this gospel, right, the first thing we're going to look at is the word for gospel, right? Greek 2098, right? And it says, Evangelion, I think that's how you pronounce it, right? And as the messianic rank of Yahushua was proved by his words, and I'm going to definition 2e, as the messianic rank of Yahushua was proved by his words, his deeds, and his death, the narrative of sayings, deeds, and death of Yahushua HaMashiach came to be called the gospel or glad tidings, the good news, right? Okay? So, remember what we learned, that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Yahushua HaMoshiach. But now the good news is that the kingdom of Yahushua is coming. It's on the way. And as we start to see these signs unfold, it's not afar off, right? So when it talks about now that it is going to be preached, right? Let's look at that word, preached. It's the Greek 2784, right? And it is caruso, to be a herald, to officiate as a herald, to proclaim after the manner of a herald. So what a herald is, remember back in the day, the town crier, or if you remember back in the day when people had the paper, here's the news. So people have to go out there and they have to start proclaiming the kingdom. Who is going to do that, family? Who is going to do that? Let's look at definition number two under that, right? They have a 1A. I'm going to read all of them. To be a herald, this is one under the Thayer's definitions, right? To be a herald, to officiate as a herald, to proclaim after the manner of a herald. That's 1A. 1B, always with the suggestion of formality, gravity, and authority, which must be listened to and obeyed. Always with the suggestion of formality, gravity, and an authority which must be listened to and obeyed. 2, to publish, proclaim openly something which has been done. 3, use of the public proclamation of the gospel and the matters pertaining to it made by Yahuchanun the Baptist, John the Baptist, and by Yahushua HaMashiach, by the apostles, and the Messianic Israelite teachers. Okay? So now, it has to be proclaimed. It has to be preached. It has to be sent out into the world for what? Right? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. It shall be published. It shall be heralded. It shall be proclaimed. Right? In all the world for a witness. For a witness. And I'm not talking about those people who go out there and call themselves witnesses. I'm talking about us. Remember who he said are his witnesses? Yisrael, you are my witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness? To observe the movement, Ad Moed, just like the sun, moon, and the stars. Right, family? But let's look at that word because we want a full view of it. It's the Greek, 3142, family. Marturion, a testimony, but don't stop there because there's an embedded word. It's Greek, 3144 in there, right? And again, martus, 3144 is martus, a witness in a legal sense, an historical sense, one who is a spectator of anything of a contest in an ethical sense, those who, after his example, have proved the strength and genuineness of their faith in Moshiach by undergoing a violent death. But don't let that discourage you, family. Do not let that discourage you. All right? We're going to read on some more. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world for a witness and unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And he says, reading on to 15, when you see therefore the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel in the holy, stand in the holy place, then let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains, let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that the flight be not in the winter, neither on the Shabbat day. For then shall there be great tribulation, such as was not, since the beginning of the world to come, nor shall ever be. And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That's good news. Then, 24:23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Moshiach, or there, believe it not, for there shall rise false prophets, false anointed ones, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if were possible, the very elect, they shall deceive the very elect. He says, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. He is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the Son of Man be. For whatever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered also. Excuse me. So immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, one of the things that we have to understand too, see, so many people look to this sign as, oh, the sun is going to turn black. Oh, and that the moon is going to darken, and the stars of heaven are literally going to fall from the sky to the earth. No. Think about what was taught yesterday by Yaquiel, right? And we got to connect the sun and the moon and the stars with as they were given to Joseph in his dream, right? The sun, Father Jacob understood that that was pointed to him, the father. The moon, Brother Jacob, Father Jacob understood that that was pointing to his wife. The stars, he understood that the 12 stars were pointed to the sons of Israel. So then what is going to be darkened? What is going to be obscured, right? So let's look at what that word darken means. And Yaquiel went to it into the Hebrew, so you know that. But let's look at it, right? Hold on, family, right? 4654, family. It's skotizo, right? Gotizo. That is to obscure, literally, or darken. So it doesn't mean necessarily that it is going to be darkened as it's going to be turned black, but it means now that there's going to be an obscurity to it, right? We look at some of the definitions. And I went to the embedded word 4655 in there, right? And it says, skotzo, darkness, of night darkness, of darkened eyesight or blindness, metaphorically, of ignorance respecting divine things and human duties, and the accompanying ungodliness and immorality together with their consequent misery in hell, it says. Persons of whom darkness becomes visible and holds sway. So when we start talking about now the total fulfillment of this lack of relationship that people will have with their Heavenly Father, we're seeing it now being fulfilled in these days. Because why? People are calling good evil and evil good. We're seeing it right before our eyes, family. Immediately after the days of the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Right? Let's look at that term. The moon shall not give her light. Right? That's in the Greek. 5338. Light of the moon. It's phagos. Phagos, which is light of the moon, of a candle or lamp, the bright sunshine, the beam of light. Right? But let's look at one more definition in there too, family. Bear with me, family. Walk with me, please. Let's go to 5457. That's embedded in there also, right? And again, go down to 2D1, the power of understanding, especially moral and spiritual truth, family. So now when we start to see in this day and age that people are presenting evil as good and good as evil, we are starting to see that all of this is being fulfilled in our time. Just a couple more scriptures, family, and then I'm going to be done. And he said, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other, family. Great days are coming, family, but we do have a little bit of tribulation that we have to endure. But don't give up hope, family. Don't falter. Don't faint. If you need strength, family, pray for strength. Do not call negativity into your life. Do not call. Don't keep concentrating on the bad things that are going on, family. Look for hope. Look toward the end of the day. Look towards what is coming. And when I say the end of the day, this spiritual day, look for what is coming, because the Shabbat, as our spiritual leader always said, Shabbat is coming, family. Shabbat is coming. Good things are coming, family. Good news. Better days are coming, family. But we have to believe it. We have to walk in it. We have to take hold of it. And we can't let go, family. Don't let go. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give in. Fight, family. Fight, 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 fight. Fight with all your might. If you need a brother, if you need a sister, call a brother, call a sister. Ask for a brother or sister to come and lay hands upon you. And don't resist it. Don't let pride get in the way. Don't get in the way of your salvation. Don't let anything, as the scripture says, don't let anything steal your crown. Your crown is that salvation. Put on that whole armor, family. Fight with all your might. We know trials and tribulations are coming. Trials and tribulations are here. I was just watching a report how people are just randomly giving up. People are giving up. But we can't give up, family. Especially us who are called for Yahweh's purpose. Who are called, who have the highest calling in all of creation. Just like Moshe, Aharon, Joshua ben Nun, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hoshea, the quote unquote, the men of the great assembly. We have been called in our age to do these things. Remember, we are still in biblical times, family, so that we still have a part to play within the book. The book. Anyway, family, shalom. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteousness in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Abba Yah, I ask, Father, that the words that you have given us today, Father, don't fall on deaf ears. Don't fall on hardened hearts, Father. I pray to you, Abba, for myself, that you give me the strength, Father, that I need. Strengthen me every day, Father, as I head back to week, Father. The adversary is already finding ways to bring negativity to me. And I pray for also my brothers and my sisters who may be going back to work, Father, after keeping the beautiful feast, after closing out this holy season, Father. I pray for all my brothers and sisters that you hedge them up, that you put your shield in front of them, Father, that you subdue the adversary, Father, as you have already done. Subdue his little minions, his little demons, his little devils. As our rabbi states, those Nephilim, those fallen spirits, Father, he asks that you bind them up, that you subdue them, Father, as we go towards our work week. That your word be a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. That you Keep our armor sharpened, Father. Everything, the helmet, the breastplate, the shield, the buckler, glistening sword, Father. Remind us, Father, in those downtimes, Father, that Yahushua HaMashiach, Et Ha Elohim, is that glistening sword, is that ultimate weapon against the enemy. And the same way he subdued him through his death, the same way he kicked him out of heaven, Father, we ask that you go before us and you keep him out of our lives this week, Father, so that we can take the joy of your holy season with us, Father, throughout this week and until we are able, if you bless us, to meet again next Shabbat. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Shalom, family. Oh.